Hi, everybody. Alan Arnett here with another podcast and the blog on alanarnett.com. It is the last day of April, April 30th, 2024. Hey, I've been quiet for the last few days because we actually had a celebration of life here for the passing of my 94-year-old mother-in-law, Oma. And so we had all the family come in from all across the country. It's been a weekend celebrating her life and the joy that she brought to all of us, and shared many wonderful stories and just reflected on what a great person that she was. So that's where I've been a little quiet here, but I'm back to it now as we enter the last of April and start to go into May. So over on Everest, my, it is windy. That's what's going on Everest right now. There's like 60 to 100 mile an hour summit winds, which makes it impossible for anyone to go up on the mountain right now. So most people are hunkering down either at base camp or the lower camps, and they're going to give this weather system a little bit of time to move off of the mountain. So not a lot of activity will happen, not major activity. It will certainly still have climbing to the lower camps and through the ice fall up into the Western Coombe. But the thing is that this year, because the icefall doctors had to take an extra 10 days to find a safe route through the icefall, that it's put everything way behind schedule. And, you know, at first glance, you say, oh, this is a big problem, isn't it? Well, you know what? It's actually turning out not to be that big of a problem. So the Sherpas from Seven Summits Treks just did a miraculous job of fixing the route all the way to the South Col. So now all that's left is to get it to the summit, but they've got to let these winds calm down, this next weather system, to get through. So they're estimating that the ropes will make it to the summit around May 10th. So it, as a result of the ropes kind of being a little bit late going up the Lhotse face, getting up to camp two, most teams have not spent what they normally would like to do, and that is to spend 2, 3, even 4 days at camp two before they call it good for the rotation. You know, in the old days, it used to be that you go spend the night at camp three at 7,000 meters, 23,000 feet. But most companies don't do that anymore. Now, they might climb the Lhotse face and get up to 7,000 meters and tag it. In other words, they'll climb up and they'll sit down in the snow for 20 minutes and eat a candy bar and drink some water, and then go back down to camp two. But they're not spending that night up there. And that used to be what we would call the ticket to the top, is when you would spend that night at camp three. It's a terrible night. I mean, you're not sleeping on supplemental oxygen. It's your first time at 23,000 feet, 7,000 meters. You don't sleep. You don't feel like eating. You're on this, 30, 40 degree slope, an icy slope. If you go out to use the bathroom, if you go out to use a wag bag and try to take a poop in it, you've got to stay clipped into a fixed rope and have your crampons on. So it's this Cirque du Soleil act of, being able to balance yourself and hold the bag and to get the zippers down and I'll do all of this, and you hope the wind doesn't come up. And anyway, I digress. So that people just don't do that anymore. So what they are doing, though, is they're starting to use supplemental oxygen, starting much lower, again, down around 21,500 feet at camp two. And they'll probably go from camp two to camp three on a relatively low flow, 1, maybe 2 liters per minute, about the same that they'll use, maybe a little smidge higher, maybe 2 or 3 liters per minute, to go from camp three up to the South Col. And then they're really going to jack up the O's. They're going to climb it at 4, 4, 6, and some are even using 8 with specialized regulators. So, but remember, once again, supplemental oxygen, the main purpose of it is it keeps you warmer. It does not take you back down to sea level. Most estimates say it's about 1,000 meters, 3,000 feet. So if you're still at 28,000 feet running at 4 liters a minute, your body still feels like it's at 25,000, which is, people don't live there. So not even birds live there. You'll see a few birds 8,000 meters. Sorry, once again, I digress. Sorry, I got a lot of pent up things to tell everybody. So what's happening now is that people are, they're trying to get their rotations in. They're trying to get up to camp two to spend a few nights up there. But meanwhile, a lot of other teams are climatizing over on the trekking peaks, at 20,000 foot peaks like Mira Peak, Lobache, Island Peak. And they're just now wrapping that up. Normally by this time, they would have had it all wrapped up and been waiting for the ropes to hit the summit and the weather window to emerge. But also historically, the 1st of May has always been kind kind of a difficult time for weather. A couple of years ago, we saw two typhoons back to back come in early May that really kind of messed things up. In 2019, remember, the winds never let up. So there's only 3 days when the winds are under 30 miles an hour. But then 2 years ago, the entire month of May didn't have winds over 30 miles an hour. So it looks like right now that 2024 is kind of a more typical, predictable pattern where you had a decent April, and now May starts off bad, and then it clears up for the summit window to occur between May 10th and 25th. So that's kind of the thinking right now, is that the ropes will hit the summit around May 10th. What you'll see is you'll see a mass of people that are following the rope team, not literally, but like a day afterwards. And then so they'll be positioned at Camp 2, 3, South Col around May 8th, 7th, 8th, and 9th. And so then when the ropes hit the summit on the 10th, they'll head up on the 11th through the 14th, 15th. So we'll see that first big wave of people that go through. Normally, that's the Nepali teams. Again, like the hundreds of people that are with Seven Summits Treks or with 8K Expeditions or Imagine Nepal, people like that. Typically, the Western companies like Madison Mountaineering or Climbing the Seven Summits or Frutenbach on the south side, they're going to wait and let those people go ahead and go on up, kick in the steps. They'll take advantage of all of that energy. So when they go up the Lhotse face, they're going up from the South Col to the balcony, there's steps kicked in. A little bit makes it a little bit easier. But then the Western teams will then follow after that first big massive wave. So they'll probably target between May 19th and or maybe 17th and the 21st. So we'll have two huge groups that'll go up again. All of these predictions could be thrown out the window if a typhoon develops or if there's another crazy move of the jet stream. So, you know, as they say, if you must make a forecast, make it often. So that every time I'm going to talk, I'll talk about, you know, these predictions, but then I'll do it with a grain of salt, with the caveat that you never know what the weather is going to bring. Okay, so that's the Nepal side. Things are actually more or less on target. Maybe a smidge behind, but, you know, not a big deal. On the Tibet side, it's a little bit of a different story. The Chinese, instead of issuing the regulation or the climbing permits in mid-April, I don't really know what the problem was, but then they cited that there's a Chinese holiday between May 1st through the 6th. What they had to do with issuing the permits back in the middle of April, I have no idea, but they did the same thing last year, and that squashed the entire season. No foreigner climbed Everest from the Tibet side last year. Only Chinese nationals did, and there was only one team that did that. There was like 20-some-odd summits last year, all by Chinese. But this year, they said they're going to open up on May 7th. Adrian Bollinger just told me this morning from Alpenglow that they are locked and loaded and ready to be at the border on May 7th to head across. Lucas Frutenbach Adventures, also has a team heading up on that north side. Some of those people, I'm told, have switched over to the Nepal side, so it'll be a little bit smaller than it was. But to my knowledge, he's still planning to go. Climb by Ya, a Nepali operator, they've been committed to it and steadfast in their commitment to go climb. So, but people like Adrian and Lucas, they tend to do one of these flash or speed expeditions, which are much shorter, as 3 weeks instead of the traditional 2 months. The other thing is that Tibet has now extended the season into June. So they're now saying that the mountain will be closed on June the 11th instead of May 31st. So that gives you, you know, about another 2 weeks to get up and get acclimatized, get the route in, and then go climb the mountain. Supposedly, there's already Chinese climbing on the Tibetan side. They're putting in the route. So it should be a situation where, you know, these teams have pre-acclimatized in the hypoxic tents back home, can arrive on that Tibet side and hit the ground running, minimize their number of rotations, probably one up to the advanced base camp, come back down, wait for good weather, and then boom, go again. Who knows, this year they may even skip that given their acclimatization rotations. But nonetheless, I think they're actually in pretty good shape. There have been multiple teams, though, that said, nope, we're not going to make that gamble. We don't know how long the weather window is going to last this year, because really what terminates the season on the Tibet side is the arrival of the monsoon and the heavy snowfall that happens along with winds that make the mountain just too difficult to climb, too risky, actually, to climb, especially with the wind chill. So people like Arnold Costner and Kobler and Partner, Makalu Extreme, Adventure Peaks, they've all said, forget it. And they switched over to the Nepal side. And I think that number has been accounted for in the number of permits on the Nepal side, which is right now at about 390 as of, what is it, as of yesterday, the 29th of April. So 390 permits have been issued to foreigners on the Nepal side. That's well under the 480-ish that was last year. So I don't think we're going to break that record. It's really slowing down now. Last week, there were about 40 new permits that were issued. Last few days, only two. So this is pretty normal. It kind of dries up as we enter into May, because they're, you know, you're not going to show up in early May to go climb the mountain with only 2 or 3 weeks to go. So that's where we have it. Everest ER is in business as usual, doing their great job. They said they've already treated close to 300 patients. And most of those have been local Nepali, of the either local villagers or porters or Sherpas, people like that. They have said they had to rescue seven people, one with a high altitude pulmonary edema, cerebral edema. One had an issue with a heart problem. All these are par for the course. They're normal. And that was part of what took 18 lives last year. That it is sadly what we've come to expect on Everest on both sides, at 4 to 6 deaths. Now, last year was just horribly tragic with 18 dying, 11 of which I think were preventable. And I'm hoping that the operators learned a little bit from that. But we'll have to see. We'll make that determination come, you know, about a month from now, around June 1st. And when we really see what the final tallies are. So that's about it for this update. I'll continue to keep people updated as we move through the season. And I'm also continuing to do my Everyday Everest fictional podcast. I've had a few people that have gotten confused between the real world and the fictional world. Remember, Everyday Everest is fiction. I made it up. It's not real, but it is based upon real characters. All right, climb on. This is Alan. And remember, memories are everything.